Community Conversations with Community Centres SA. Here's Kerry Ackermans.
Today in our Community Conversations podcast, we'll be talking to Claire Bone, Mayor of the City of Port Adelaide Enfield, and she has been since November 2018. And we'll especially be drawing attention to the new centre they've opened, Yitipi, which is providing a space that Port Adelaide and Enfield are very proud of to share with you. Welcome to the Community Conversations podcast, Claire. I'm very excited to talk to you today because, of course, your council has very exciting news about a new centre that's opened. But before we get into that, can we just have a chat about what led you into local government? Because it's a big role for anyone to take up the mayor. It's something that must be a very big breadth of information that you want to get across to people and things that you need to do. How do you manage that and what led you into it?
Yeah, oh, local government is amazing. But do you know, before I actually got into council, I don't actually think I ever voted in an election. I really didn't have any connection with my local council at all. And then I was a primary school teacher and we actually didn't think we'd be able to have children. And I said to my husband, I'd really love to be able to give something back to the people in my local area alongside my teaching. And so I ran in the election, not really completely understanding what local government was, and managed to win. This is in 2010, and won as a seat in the Parks Ward for the City of Port Adelaide Enfield. And then that was for 4 years, and then we moved house, and I ran in the Port Ward as a councillor for 4 years, and then Gary Johansson, the previous mayor, was stepping down and encouraged me to stand as mayor. So I did that and managed to win that election. So that was 6 years ago, and I'm still here contributing in the local government space, which is such an amazing level of government, I think. We're really at those grassroots, connecting with our local communities and working on their behalf to create environments that people want to be, creating connections with one another, but I guess making sure that we give people the opportunity to actually create those relationships themselves and find ways to be able to do that, and then, you know, handing it over and going, okay, off you go now, and yeah, giving them a bit of space to create their own lives in the amazing places that we're producing for them.
And Claire, why the area? You live in the area, I presume, or what drew you to the City of Port Adelaide and Enfield?
Yeah, I actually grew up on a dairy farm in the southeast sort of region. And love that. It's a pretty amazing thing being able to grow up in a regional area. And through that, you really understand the connections of people and the importance of that. Because first of all, I grew up in a school with only 24 students. I think it got down to 19 at one point in time. And, you know, everyone's friends. You can't sit back and wait for other people to do things for you. The local tennis courts that would be overgrown with grass, we'd go out there and we'd have working bees and everyone would be out there, even if we didn't play tennis. We'd all be out there making sure the tennis courts were looking good. And I think that that's sort of a way of growing up. Then when I finally moved to the city, I've lived in a few different places through my uni years, across to Perth where I met my husband and back here to the Port Adelaide region. And I think that really that strength of relationships of people is what it's all about. It just feels like a big country town. Everyone knows everyone. And of course, then it's Port Adelaide Enfield. It reaches all the way out to Lightsview and Klemsig regions, which are also beautiful communities. So I had a lot of strong connections in the area that I lived and worked at the local primary school, but then being able to get to know other communities and circles of people has been such an honour. I think that's probably the best part of the job, is understanding people, learning about what interests them, what's important to them, and trying to find ways to be able to give them a voice in that space, I guess.
And Claire, of course, things have changed over time now. We've become increasingly complex with legislative requirements, regulator requirements, whether it be local government, state or federal. So getting through community projects is a lot more complex than what it used to be. How does the council navigate that with stakeholder engagement?
Yeah, that's something actually when I came into the role of mayor, I really wanted to see us do a better job of that. How do we actually learn from our community? And yes, we are a government body, which has its limitations in some ways, but also has its strengths in others. But just recognising that there are lots of people out there who don't understand what council can do for them, but also for council to understand what community can offer to the decision-making process. So we actually have developed some amazing relationships through a couple of our staff members who are really in that space of building conversations and entering into those sorts of consultation processes, which we are mostly required to do, but we also don't want to just do it because we're required to. We want to make sure that we're genuinely listening, and if there's a vote of, you know, do you want the street to be one way or don't you want it to be one way, not actually just looking at the yes and no, but looking at those comments and the quantitative data as well as the qualitative data, which can add value to the decisions that we're making. So, yeah, I think that's something that our council's really done so well. We've grown in that space, and I think we're leaders in that space as well, and even developing the online platforms that give them a chance to understand all the projects that are happening, to comment on them, and for us to then not only give them people an opportunity to make those comments, but then actually truly receive them and hear from them. And, you know, a really good example at the moment is 744 Shore, and we're redoing a whole lot of that space, which is a really big project and a space that a lot of people are drawn to and they love and they don't want it to change. But we also have a responsibility to make sure that we're looking after that asset and not just letting it go until it's too late. And so we have this job now to hear what the community want, which is please don't turn it into Henley. Like, make it a space that is still Semaphore, but also for us to do our job, which is to make sure that the assets that we have, which are out there for our community, are not falling apart. So getting that balance is really necessary. And I think although the consultation period was extensive and we've engaged really closely with lots of people, I think the outcome, therefore, will be something that so many more people will enjoy and appreciate. So, yeah, it's pretty amazing hearing the vast views and opinions. And when people do it respectfully, we mostly appreciate that as well. Social media adds a whole new dimension to consultation, which is why we're often steering people. We do want to hear from you, but please, please do this in a way that we can have respectful conversations and understand not everyone's going to view things the same way. And not everyone's going to be happy at the end of the day, but you really have genuinely been heard, and we're doing our best to make sure we can get the best outcome at the end of the day.
Claire, I'm interested in how the council makes decisions in terms of projects going ahead or not when you do go out for stakeholder engagement, because usually those who love it and hate it, but then there's a whole lot in the middle. You might only be capturing 20%. How do you look at that from a numbers perspective when we say something critical that impacts on people's lives, like whether you'll give visitor parking permits or for residents to have parking, because that's certainly becoming a premium, just as an example, for when there's events on, where can the community get access to have parked cars to go to their events? How do you make that decision if you put it out for stakeholder engagement and you only have 20% come back to you? What about the 80%?
You know, I think that's probably the most difficult thing. When you've nailed it there, we get really low engagement when we go out and look for people's feedback, which I don't know, we're still trying to figure out why, and we've tried to capture those, that 80% or 70% that never actually do engage with local government. I think we have about a 30% return on our election votes because they're not compulsory. And so we're probably only engaging that same group of people all the time. We don't seem to be able to bridge that gap in any way, even though we have certainly improved our consultation opportunities for people. So we do have to look at it and think, okay, I think that's where the qualitative data is really important as well, and even the conversations that we're having with people along the way. So it's not just, do you want a one-way street, yes or no, and five people on a street of 30 or five households come back and share their opinion. If we're actually genuinely want to make sure we're making the right decision at the end of the day, we've got to make sure that we're having these conversations all the time with our community and not just around that one point of engagement. And I think it's incredibly difficult because you're not going to be able to please everyone, but as long as we're giving our best shot at allowing people to have their say, then we're kind of doing the best that we can. But that's where relationship building is so important as well. So when we come to a lot of our public infrastructure, PAE is the third biggest council in the Metro Adelaide region, and we have five libraries and multiple community centres, some run by us, some not run by us, and all of those sorts of social infrastructure, we call them. We're looking at what have we got and where have we got it and where are the greatest needs? And yes, we might have this really loud group saying they want something in one corner of the council, but we know on paper that actually this is the area that genuinely needs something. We're turning and shifting our focus to that area that genuinely needs it. And we're hearing other people saying, we hear that you would like this, however, we know that this is actually the area that is in greatest need at this point in time. And we've applied that to open green spaces as well. We're looking at creative ways where there's suburbs that are lacking in open green space. Genuinely, the communities that are not all that vocal about it. It's really interesting. They just, I guess, they learn to just live and accept they don't have a lot of open green space. But we're looking for ways to actually make sure that they are getting that open green space, because we recognise that need now, but also into the future as the density of housing is increasing. So we're saying thank you very much for your feedback. We love that you want something better in this area, but we actually also have a plan and a schedule here, and we want to make wise, informative decisions so that we're not just reacting to the comments that are coming through or reacting to the loudest group, but also hearing them, but looking at ways that we can make sure that every area of our council is actually getting the resources that they need to live happy, healthy lives.
I'm talking to Claire Bone today, Mayor of the City of Port Adelaide, Enfield. Of course, Claire, people look to the council to be the role models and the leadership for topics. For example, let's just take tree canopy. A lot of people aren't aware that Adelaide has one of the worst tree canopies in Australia. We are not anywhere near as green as what we think we are, and developments see trees cleared all the time, and developers will say, well, we'll plant one or two trees in replacement, but that's, we're talking 30, 40 years on. Where does the City of Port Adelaide and Enfield sit with that, because those green spaces and that tree canopy is so important?
Yeah, I think you're right. To put the green spaces and tree canopy in that same bucket is really important, because open green spaces also provide cooling. They don't provide the shade in the same way, but they do provide cooling. So at the moment, obviously, we're in this really deep drought, and it's really challenging to keep our green spaces green, but we're making sure that we're prioritising that we're looking after those spaces, because we're aware we do have very low tree canopy and we want beautiful green spaces for people to enjoy. And yeah, we are struggling with that tree canopy aspect, because we're planting as much as we possibly can in public spaces, but really it's the private areas where there's so much infill occurring that we're losing most of that canopy. Of course, we've also got a lot of industry in our council area, and growing trees in industrial areas is challenging for businesses because of the operations of their sites. So we're addressing it where we can, and certainly looking for every public place we can to be planting trees, but we're also looking to the state government with their legislation to ensure that they're following through. There's now, I think it's when you build a house, you need to also have a tree, but it's pretty easy to put a tree when you're building a house, but then not actually water it and make sure that it's a thriving tree that provides canopy in the next 10 to 20 years. So we're wanting to make sure that people are actually following through with that to keep that tree alive as much as we possibly can. But yeah, it's the open green spaces, which we do have as a council. We're quite well catered for in most of our areas, and making sure that we have these as beautiful places people want to be is also really critical.
Well, let's turn our discussion today, our conversation, Claire, to, of course, the beautiful space that you've just opened. Mm. Tell us all about the centre.
Yeah, Yitpi Yatabultiku it's called, or we're shortening a bit to Yitpi because it is a bit of a mouthful for some people, but it's been a long, long process. I think the elders would say it goes back almost 30 years of belief that there'd be something at this location, and that started with Auntie Veronica and Auntie Josie, and it's now up and it's built, so although they aren't here to be able to experience and love it, their children and grandchildren are, and great-grandchildren, and many other people who live on the peninsula. This is a space for absolutely everyone to come and enjoy. It's pretty well known that Port Adelaide hasn't got big open green spaces, but now it does. It's a space for being able to access the river. It's a playground. It's native areas. And of course, there's the building, which we're still in the process of setting up and getting all the programs up and running in the cafe. But once that's all live and happening, it'll be a place full of lots of people enjoying what Port Adelaide has to offer.
And you've mentioned you've got the cafe, but it is actually open on weekends, which is fabulous, because a lot of the community centres aren't always able to open on weekends and out of hours.
Yeah, that's, and this is the thing. It's the idea behind it from the start of this actual project, which was around 6 years ago, was really looking at, okay, what is this space going to be? Yes, there was a vision that there would be something, but what is that something? And it was quite unanimous across the board when we, as a council, worked alongside some of the Aboriginal families in the peninsula, that this was to be a beautiful, open, vast space, but also to have a building where people could come and gather. And so we've designed it in a way that offers your day-to-day pop-ins, if you want to just come in and have a coffee and spend time with people and enjoy the playground and just be there like you would in the community centre, or have some programs, or have the library come and run some special programs out of there, but also as a tourism offering. So we have all the cruise ships coming into Outer Harbour, and they jump on a bus and they'll go to the Barossa, which is gorgeous, or they'll go to the city, which is lovely, but they're not staying here in our region. And so this is something that we know will be really attractive to the tourism industry across the peninsula. And hopefully by capturing those people coming in and learning stories from various different families and elders on the peninsula, they'll want to stay and spend time across other areas of the peninsula as well as Yitpi. So So we'll be finding different ways that we can have some tourism offerings in that space, but also as a function centre. So we haven't got a really great function centre on the peninsula either, or anywhere near Port Adelaide, and with the defence contracts all coming in, we believe that there'll be a real need for something like this to occur. So we're still in that process of setting up the catering, and yeah, the cafe will be open every day once that one's up and running next month. Yeah, so we just think it's going to be a lot of things to lots of people. It'll be that really tight-knit community place to be, but also a pretty high-end function visitor information type of opportunity for people that want to learn more about the Aboriginal history of the area.
So I believe you're running a gallery there as well, so it'll be used to, is it for artworks? What else is the purpose? What sorts of things will you be holding there, Claire?
Yeah, so for the next 3 months, we've actually got an exhibition up which talks about the story of how this came about. There's some beautiful storytelling. If you look through a QR, you link on a QR code through your phone, and you can hear some of the stories, and there's images. There's a model that was created right from the very start so that we could picture what it would become. So that'll be up for a few months. And then it will be a changing gallery space where we're linking in. We've got an amazing woman, Leanne Buckskin, who's very well connected in the arts world. And she's already linking in with many different groups who are wanting to come and show their pieces, showcase their pieces there in the gallery. And then we've also got, and we're still in that process of, you know, finalising relationships, but we've got some pretty amazing performance arts groups who want to come in and use the space. So part of it's actually got an outdoor area where performances can occur, and in the summer evenings, oh my gosh, it's going to be absolutely amazing when we can get dance groups to come in and use that as a performance area right on the sand along the edge of the river. We're looking at ways to activate the river as well in the evening. So there's so many different possibilities of how we can showcase not only Aboriginal art, but the land and the water and how all of these things connect with one another. And we're in a pretty amazing spot here. I think people who haven't been to Port Adelaide for a while probably are missing out on seeing. It's slow, but it is happening. There is this change occurring in the area where the river is actually in really good condition, and the Aboriginal heritage, but also the heritage of the area in terms of the built form, is improving and growing. And so we think if people can come and spend time at Yipi and then travel into that heritage region as well, that they'll really get an amazing feel for what Port Adelaide has been and what it is today. So yeah, that's pretty exciting, the sorts of relationships we can form. And we know there are lots of groups out there who haven't had a space, and we all heard about the one that would be built in the city, which was going to be of a mammoth scale, much larger than this, but because that hasn't yet happened and we're not quite sure about the future of it, we're linking into all those possibilities that we're seeing there and bringing them into our space so that it can still be a place for live arts, music, culture, and really showcase what Adelaide has to offer as a whole, not just about Port Adelaide. Actually, when I think about it, it's actually for the state. This is quite a special place for the whole of our state, I think.
Well, especially with that entry with cruise ships going there as well. Claire, CCSA is the peak body for supporting community centres in advocacy, networking, capacity building. We're always very keen to see what investment councils have and what importance they place on community and community centres. So what's your future plans anywhere across your council area for community where you see community centres playing a part?
Yeah, so our most recent new community centre is at the Lights Rec Centre, which is on our other side of the town at Lightsview. And when we designed that one, we needed to create a sporting facility, but also it's a pretty unique piece of land that we thought this is more than some basketball courts. And we've built it into community centre type of rooms where they're hireable spaces, or we run our programs out of there, because to build separate buildings for community centres is becoming a lot more costly, and we're not capturing different groups of people. So some of our community centres are absolutely thriving, bustling places, but we're not seeing different people coming into the place. They're often the same community groups coming and going and utilising that terrific space, but then how do we attract those that aren't really aware that it's there, or realising the opportunities that community centres can bring. So by building a place that where it's more than just a community centre, in this case it's a sports centre, we're seeing other people coming through and you know, they'll go and do a gym class and then they'll come and do a card making class afterwards, or they'll take their kids to the kids play group, and then on the weekends they're going to use that community centre for a play, a kids party. So by seeing those spaces as multifunctional spaces, we're actually getting a lot more bang for our buck, but we're also getting a lot more connections with people that otherwise wouldn't have seen themselves entering into a traditional community centre space. So when we're looking at future opportunities across our city, we're looking at how can we maybe link in our libraries and our community centres together. And we're already doing that in the spaces that we own where our libraries are, but a lot of them are in older buildings and they don't have that same opportunity that the newer buildings do, that when you design them from scratch with a particular intention, you're able to get the best possible outcome at the end of the day. So as our communities are growing and there's a lot of infill, a lot more need, our libraries are bursting at the seams, particularly the one out at Greenacres. We're looking at, okay, we know that this is something that must be improved. We can't continue in this site in this particular way. What are we going to do to look toward the future to ensure that our growing communities are going to have spaces that they can come and still enjoy? Because there's nothing worse than going into a library or a community centre that you just can't even move, or you don't feel welcome in because there's just so much activity happening. So we're certainly turning our minds to some of that social infrastructure, future opportunities of libraries and community centres, sports centres, community centres. You know, we've got the Port Environment Centre in Port Adelaide. That's another form of a community centre. How do we actually get people sharing spaces, linking in with one another and sharing everything they have to offer? Because often, you know, when you're in a particular group, you'll meet with each other, you'll come and do your thing, and then you'll go home again. But if there's a few different things happening in the area, then you're open to and you're seeing how other community groups function as well. And I think that that's a really important part of learning and understanding from a huge array of people from different backgrounds, different viewpoints, so that we can become more connected, I guess, as well, and appreciative of one another.
Claire, thank you so much for those insights, and wholeheartedly agree. We do want to be making sure we can provide all those options for our communities. And congratulations on Yitpi. Sounds amazing. I haven't been able to get down there yet, but I certainly will. And thank you so much for joining us on the Community Conversations podcast today.
Thank you, Kerry. It's absolutely my pleasure.
On behalf of all the Community Centres SA teams, thanks for listening. Feel free to get in touch with us at communitycentressa.asn.au. We'll be back next week. But wherever you are, at home, with your work and in your daily life, we hope that we have planted a seed to enable ongoing community conversations.
Community Conversations. For more information, check out communitycentressa.asn.au.